You would look with me in your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians, to chapter 13. 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 13, I'd like for us to read the entirety of the chapter this morning, verses 1 through verse 13, as we look at the subject of Christian love. Christian love. It's a subject that sometimes many would like to just avoid for some reason. Sometimes people, when you speak on Christian love, it seems to disturb some. Maybe it's because they don't have it. I don't know. But sometimes it does bother people. When you speak about Christian love and what it really is, what it really is. We began reading in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. In this reading, in what is known as the love chapter of the Bible, we have the Apostle Paul's great teaching on the matter of love. And love is a major theme in the Word of God, being mentioned over 300 times in the Scripture. It must be something important that God has for us if He would name it in His Word over 300 times. It's something that is not to be taken for granted, but it's something that we are to give serious attention unto. You would hold your place and go with me to the book of Matthew, and in chapter 22. In Matthew and in chapter 22, I'd like for us to read verse 35 through verse 40. Matthew in chapter 22, and I begin in verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, Jesus' answer to this is very interesting. You'll notice it centers around love. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The two tables of stone written by the hand of God on Sinai contain laws that pertain unto our relationship with God. The other table related to us in our interaction with men. That's what Jesus says here in verse 37. The first commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Then he said there is a second one. And it is like the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said on these two, the love for God, love for our neighbor, hinge or hang all the law of the Lord. There simply is no fulfilling of the law. There is no obedience unto the law without this matter of love. And you go back to Exodus in chapter 20 and examine the Ten Commandments. You'll note if you study the scripture that every one of them has to do with this matter of love. In the book of Romans and in chapter 13, let's read here verse 7 through verse 10. Romans and in chapter 13, and here I'll begin in verse 7. The Apostle Paul did write, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." That's just what Jesus said, was it not? "He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." Now, if you go back to verse 7 and 8 with me. First of all, render therefore to all their dues. Render to everyone their dues. Whatever you owe someone, pay it, and pay it in full. Ever how long it takes, pay it. Do not owe anyone anything, the scripture says here, except this matter of love. Verse 8, owe no man anything. In other words, if you have a debt, pay it. No matter how long it takes, pay it. But there's one debt you can never pay in full. There is one debt that you'll always owe. There's one debt that will always be outstanding, that we'll always be obligated to. He said, owe no man anything but to love one another. That is a debt that we will be continually owing and paying as long as we live. It cannot be fulfilled. It's something that is ongoing. This matter of love that we read of in several places already is one of those tests in the Scripture. You remember in 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to turn there, in 2 Corinthians and in chapter 13, 2 Corinthians in chapter 13 and in verse 5, Paul gave this command to the saints at Corinth. Rather, I say to the church, I don't know if they were all saints or not. That's the purpose of what he says here. He said, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. And there are several tests in the Scripture, several different ways that we can examine ourselves whether we are in the faith. And one of those is this matter of Christian love. Christian love. In the book of 1 John in chapter 3. In the book of 1 John and in chapter 3, let's notice what is written here by John. 1 John in chapter 3. And I'll begin here in verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Now notice this next statement. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Again, it's a test. It's a test. Are you in the faith? Do you have Christian love? In verse 14, it's one of those ways that we can know that we have passed from death unto life if we love the brethren. And he goes on, and you could read on down through maybe verse 19 and what is written here about this matter of the test of love. And we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. In Galatians, and I hope you're familiar with this, in Galatians, in chapter 5, and in verse 22, there the apostle gives the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit, the manifestation, the result of the Holy Spirit of God. Number one is love. Number one is love. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, keep in mind what is stated here about the fruit of the Spirit. And I've pointed out before, and I'll point out again, the word fruit is in the singular. All of these make up the fruit of the Spirit. If it was in the plural, you might have one and not the other, but it's one. All of these make up the one fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to read them again. And as we go back to 1 Corinthians 13, notice the similarity. Notice the similarity. Here it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, back in 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, the word charity is used here in our Bibles. And the word charity over the years has sort of changed its meaning a good bit. The meaning of the word translated charity here is love, and we know this, love. It's important to know the distinction. You can do acts of charity out of pity and not out of love. But here the Bible is speaking about love. And you'll notice that Paul speaks here of the importance of love. The importance of love. I want us to read verses 1 through verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 13. And as we read these verses, notice the word though. It could be understood as even though. But notice that as we read. Verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love or charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Just something that makes a noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. A person can have all of these things, can do all of these things, but if they are void of love, there's no profit to them any way whatsoever. Paul said, if I could speak with the tongues of men and angels, if I don't have this love, I'm just like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and had all knowledge and understood all ministry, even if I had all faith, but if I do not have love, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. In verse 3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, if I have not love, it profiteth me nothing. It profiteth me nothing. And from there in this chapter 13, this chapter of love, Paul goes on to list certain characteristics of love. And he uses both the positive and the negative. Speaking about love. He tells what it is and what it does. And he tells what it is not and what it does not do. And I want us to go over these, and we'll just go over them briefly. But he begins in verse 4 by saying, love suffereth long. It is long suffering. That word, as it relates here to the matter of love, could be that the one who has this love is long-tempered rather than being short-tempered. Some are very short-tempered. Those who have this true love are long-suffering. It takes far more for them to have a rage of temper. Here it says that love is long suffering. Some people could be described as very touchy, and the least little thing offends them, and they're just set off by the least little thing. Well, Paul said that love is long suffering. It's long-suffering. Then notice what he also said in verse 4. He said that love is kind. Love is kind. Love is tender-hearted toward others. Love desires the best for others. Love is gracious to others. Love is kind. Notice also that he says here that love envieth not. It's not covetous. Remember, that was one of the laws of God. Love envieth not. Not in what others may possess as far as material goods, but it also could be a envy of special gifts and talents or many other things. Love, it says, envieth not. It just does not do that. Next it says, love vaunteth not itself. Those who have that true love, that is the fruit of the Spirit, which will fulfill the law of God, they are not self-promoters and they are not braggarts. That's what the word here really means. They're not bragging upon themselves. They don't have to be in the limelight all of the time. The world does not center around them. Notice what else it says here. Verse 4. Love is not puffed up. That goes hand in hand with the one just before here. Those that are puffed up are like a hot air balloon, just filled with hot air, and they are conceited. That's what it means here, puffed up. It's what the word actually means. If you look it up in a concordance or dictionary for the word, they use the word bellows. Bellows. And it's just like filling up something with air. And that's what it's saying here, that love is not puffed up. It's not conceited. Verse 5. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Indecently is what the word means. Love will not think in an uncomely manner toward others. Many times people just automatically do that. They form an opinion about another person, what they do or what they think they do, or what the other person even thinks, and they draw an opinion and they don't have all the facts. Love does not behave itself unseemly. It says in verse 5, seeketh not her own. That goes hand in hand with the others. It's not always promoting self and thinking of self. Love just does not do that. Love does not do that. Notice what it says next. Love is not easily provoked. Again, this is a test. A test. Do we have Christian love? Is not easily provoked. Is not easily angered. Is not offended by the least little thing in others. It says, is not easily provoked. It's not that those who have Christian love cannot be provoked. They can. But not very easily. Not very easily. And then in the latter part of verse 5. Thinketh no evil. That's interesting words if you look it up and do a word search on concerning that. This is interesting wording. Thinketh no evil. In the original it would read like this. Does not reckon or keep an account of evil. There are some, and sad to say, even in the Lord's churches, that seem to keep a ledger book, maybe in their minds, of faults of others. wrongs of others, and they never let it go. That's what the wording here means. Does not reckon or keep an account of evil. Christian love does not do that. It's the same as holding a grudge against someone. Christian love does not do that. Verse 6. Love rejoices not in iniquity. You know, there's some that do that. Some people are just bent toward that and rejoice in iniquity. Love does not take delight in what is offensive to God or fellow Christians. It just does not do that. It says in verse 6, love rejoices in the truth. Love rejoices in that which is righteous, in the truth. Whether in doctrine or in practice, love rejoices in truth. Love rejoices in truth. Verse 7. Love beareth all things. Note the word beareth here. The word beareth here comes from a word that means to cover, even as a roof covers a home or a building. That's what the word means. Love beareth all things. Go with me to the book of 1 Peter, if you would. In the book of 1 Peter, and in chapter 4, notice what is said here about love. It beareth all things. 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'll read verse 8. Above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. Why? For or because love shall cover the multitude of sins. Love beareth all things. True Christian love should be this fervent love that is mentioned here in verse 8 among yourselves. And it will cover a multitude of sins. I go back to our list in 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. In verse 7, following that, it says that love believeth all things. And again, the word here is interesting. It's sort of in a negative. It means that love is not gullible. Love believes the good in fellow Christians rather than believing wrong about others. Love will not be prejudiced against another Christian. Love will not accept gossip about other Christians. Love is a very important thing. If you notice in verse 7, it says, love hopeth all things. Hopeth all things. Those who have Christian love, rather than having a negative and a critical spirit toward others, will be positive and hopeful concerning fellow Christians. Verse 7 again. This love, again, it's the fruit of the Spirit. This is the love that comes from God. It says, endureth all things. Love perseveres. again, I'll just mention, if you look up the wording, and it's always interesting to me to do that, this means in the original that love will be like a soldier, no matter what the adversity, will persevere. He'll just keep going. That soldier don't quit. The soldier don't quit. And our Bible tells us this about love. It endures all things. And it says following that in verse 8 that it never fails. It never fails. Love survives. Love endures. If you look at verse 8, prophecies, tongues, and knowledge will cease and vanish away. There'll come a time when love, or rather these other three here, are no more. But love endures. Notice what the Apostle Paul said in verse 13. He said, "Now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." Now, if you didn't have the Bible, didn't have this verse of Scripture, and someone were to ask you, which is greater, faith, hope, or love, would you have picked love? I would have probably picked faith. But God's Word said it's love. It's love. "Now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." Consider for a moment, if you would. Faith is the ground or our substance for us to believe things that the human eye cannot see and that we do not experience. Faith has an eye to go beyond sight. But there's coming a time when faith will end in sight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But when the end of this age comes and there is the revelation and we see face to face, faith will come to an end. What is hope? Hope is our earnest expectation, and I'll say based upon the Word of God. Hope is our earnest expectation that God will fulfill every promise, every word in this book. Well, hope ends at the fulfillment of all things. Hope will come to an end. There'll be a time, and again, it's the end of this age, when we will not be in expectation, we'll be in the reality. The reason that love is greater is that love will never end. Love endures. The greatest of these is love. Love will not end in this lifetime, nor in the world to come. In the world to come, in eternity, when we are with the Lord, we'll still love the Lord. We'll still love the things of our God. And we'll love the people of God. As I mentioned, I believe, last week, when we all get together, when that great gathering of God's elect, there's going to be a bond of love. Again in verse 13. "Now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love." Another reason I think for this is that both faith and hope are personal to you. Nobody can believe for you. You cannot believe for anyone else. And the same is true about hope. That's just something that is in us, and it's all of us. But love goes beyond us. Love always goes outward. Love is extended to other individuals. Certainly love to God and the things of God, but our love, our lack of love, affects others far more than our faith or hope does. It is greater. Book of 1 John, I'll mention one more reason I think that love is greater. In the book of 1 John and in chapter 4, 1 John in chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. Now I'll just interject this. One of the reasons that love is greater than faith or hope is love is an attribute of God. Those who have this love are God-like. But let's go on and read. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. Now notice this. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. That places a pretty good importance upon this matter of love. Back in 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, when Paul gave this list of things concerning love. And I say again, he gave some positive things, he gave some negative things. And it's a real good way to examine ourselves. Always note what he said in verse 11. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. There are many Christians, I believe, across this land, many in churches across this land, and for them it's time to grow up and put away childish things. What are those childish things? Well, just go back and read the list. And he tells you there what love is not. And it's not self-centered. It's not petty. It's not easily provoked. And all of these things. When you become a mature Christian, those things are to be put away. Put away. I put away childish things. What a difference it would make in churches and in our land in general if God's people love one another as they're taught in the Word of God. What a difference it would make in churches. I've got just a minute. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter and in chapter 1, I began in verse 18. 1 Peter 1, 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ and of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Let me just stop here. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Notice in verse 21, and in verse 22, you have faith, you have hope, you have love mentioned in these two verses. Verse 22 again, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again. If for no other reason, you've been born again. The word fervently that's used here in verse 23 means earnestly and sincerely. Not just in word, certainly not in hypocrisy, but earnestly and sincerely. In verse 22, Peter is saying, see to it. See to it. See that you do this. See that you do this. Our text, now I mentioned 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, says, now abideth faith, hope, and love. Well, I can assure you, whatever God has, Satan will have a counterpart to it. He'll have a counterpart. These three things. On the godly side is faith. On the devil's side is unbelief. On the godly side is hope. On the devil's side is despair. On the godly side is love. On the devil's side is malice and envy. And all those things we read in 1 Corinthians 13 that love is not. My prayer is that God will help us. Well, I'll go beyond that. That God will even cause us to love one another as we ought.